the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Teresa, you were sharing with me in the green room that sometimes you don't eat until 12 o'clock on the weekends and 3 o'clock during the week. That's all the rave now is intermittent fasting.
Oh, yes. So
let me introduce you to my guest, Brains. I forgot to tell you where you are. You're here, you're home, upside down, here on the Edge with April Mahoney and Teresa Ibarra from South Australia. We're going to be talking about health and wellness. We're going to talk about her work in engineering. We're going to talk about her pivoting, what she's doing to really kind of help people in that space. So I wanted to introduce you, but before I, you know, carry on with the conversation, you know, it's best to know who we're talking to. So again, that right there, that is Teresa Ibarra. Now, back to where we were. Sometimes I'm all over the place, but that's what makes it fun. So just a little bit about this intermittent fasting.
Yeah, intermittent fasting. So what that means is you have a break between meals for at least 12 hours. The best is between 14 and 16 hours. And it is not that difficult because you can do it during the night, you know. So if I have my last meal, maybe at 6 o'clock in the evening, like my dinner, then I can have my lunch or my breakfast next day around 10 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock will be better. And the reason why I do intermittent fasting is when we have a break and we give a break to our digestive system, then healing happens in the body. You know, so disease happens for two reasons, either toxicity or deficiency on the nutrients, but most often is due to toxicity. So it's quite good to detox the body.
Okay, so I've been reading this book. It's called Fit for Life. And basically it says also that you should start your day with fruit or have fruit before a meal, because that fruit before the meal actually creates and activates enzymes to help you digest better. Would you agree with that?
Yes, completely. So my breakfast, you know, when I break my fast, that is the meaning of the breakfast. Yeah. I normally have freshly squeezed juices, normally with fruit and vegetables mixed. Mm-hmm. And I eat a lot of fruit. Yes. And that is the first thing that I did in the day. So my lunch would be normally that, you know, I don't have any pasta or rice or I don't eat meat. But it'll be quite light lunch, big salad after my fruit.
Wow. You know, because I'm really incorporating those things and I find that that causes you to eliminate a lot.
Exactly. Yes. Which is great, right? We want all the toxins to get out of the body.
I have an appointment to get my very first colonic. Have you ever had one?
Yes, I have had. I do colon cleanse and colonics. Yes.
Okay.
You will love it.
You love it. So I was a little nervous, but again, I've seen or I've heard of people having enemas. So it's just like a gentle enema.
Exactly. It's better than enema. It's easier than enema. Yes.
And then afterwards, would you recommend that people gently reintroduce food? Because I'm going to tell you a story. I love to tell my stories. I did a colon cleanse one time. And after the colon cleanse, it was about 3 or 4 days. And I decided to have some meat after that.
Oh,
Teresa, it was horrible. The human body was not designed to really, in all honesty, Brains, I mean, you know, and I'm carnivorous, I eat meat, but it wasn't designed to really eat and digest meat.
No, it wasn't. Really, you know, when you do enemas or you do any detoxing, it's very important that we are very careful how we eat afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because the digestive system, again, it is like in a resting mode and a healing mode. So after you detox or you do some fasting or enemas, all these beautiful things to heal the body, if you eat something that is heavy, like the meat, and it takes long time to digest, the digestive system is not ready. It's not fully awake. And I agree with you. We are not designed to eat meat or a lot of meat.
Right.
You know?
And what type of meat? You know, growing up, my father forbidded pork. We could not have pork. Where Mr. Magnificent, my husband, will, honey, he wants some bacon on the weekends. He wants some ham. He wants, you know, some pork chops. And so it's full of salt. And, you know, that's that animal pretty much will eat anything. At least beef is, you know, vegetarian. You know, chickens are vegetarians. But what turned me off of really kind of meat, watching meat, was watching the silverback gorillas at the zoo. Oh. I had an opportunity to go behind the scenes, and it was beautiful. Their skin was, and their fur, and their facial skin was just absolutely perfect. There wasn't a flea, there wasn't a patch missing. Again, because they were vegetarians, and some of the largest animals in the animal kingdom, elephants, are vegetarians, you know? So you have to really think about that. But, you know, people are a little afraid of becoming vegetarian because they think they have a lack of diversity and choices when it comes to eating. You just have to learn to cook differently. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it is. And really, if we eat the fruits, vegetables, legumes, they have a lot of protein. People think that protein is only the animal protein, and there's no protein in fruits and vegetables, which is wrong. So I've been plant-based now for 4 years. Yes, and I changed because I was sick. Yeah.
Oh, really? So that really kind of caused you to change. And, you know, I see that. The first thing that happens when people get sick is the doctor says, change your diet, because we are what we eat. Would you agree?
Yes, yes. So the doctor, I thought that I was healthy. And I started feeling a little bit strange. I went to see my GP and she ran some tests, and I was diagnosed with autoimmune disease, Graves' disease, affecting my thyroid. And I was told, well, you need to be in medication for the rest of your life. And I was not prepared to do that. So I started looking for different options. And I quit all the animal products, change at home chemicals, and did a big fast. So I did 30 days fast.
Wow, so it was an intermittent fast where you were...
No, fast. So I did I did 4 days of colon cleanse. It was just a mix of things that I ate to clean the colon, because that is very important. And then I did 3 days just water. So I didn't eat anything, just water for 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yes, and 30 days of just juices. Nothing else, nothing solid, just juices. Yeah.
You know what that did, though, too? That was very spiritual. Very euphoric, very euphoric. Yes. You find who you are at the core. Again, you know, fasting, I do it for spiritual reasons, but again, you know, you get me after 12 or 16, I want something to eat. So it's a mental discipline to extract yourself from that. So that, I commend you. That is really great. I mean, your skin is absolutely gorgeous and your eyes are bright. And your hair is shiny, so it really, really helps. That's what I can see. I bet your figure is great, too.
You know, in those 30 days, I was not really heavy, but on those 30 days, I lost 12 kilos. And I was feeling so full of energy. I kept doing my yoga class, and I kept working. I kept doing everything. I was feeling amazing. And people were telling me, you know, what are you doing? You look very good. I said, well, I'm not eating. I'm just juicing.
Wow. Okay. All right. So now you've got me encouraged. So let's dial back a little bit, because originally you are a engineer by design. And so how did you go from, you know, working in that space, which is pretty much, you know, yes, I said it, a male dominated space. It has been for a long time, a woman in that space, and now pivoting into, you know, wanting to do that in addition to transitioning into being a health coach. How do you create the two? Because they are by design.
Yes, it has been a challenge. You know, I have always been interested in the medicine. Actually, I wanted to be a doctor when I was younger, and I was discouraged at the time. And I went to see, actually, I went to spend one day with a medical doctor in the hospital. And there was something about, you know, how patients were treated, like, you know, we'll go and see if this person woke up or still alive. And it was like a disconnection between the emotions, which I guess they need to do, right? Because that is a lot of suffering that they see. But I was not comfortable with that. So I decided to do engineering. And I've been engineer for maybe, what is it, almost 25 years now. But I always have that little thing about health, you know, energy healing, health, how the mind works. I'm very passionate about reading and learning new things. But it was until I was sick and diagnosed and then I healed myself that I said, well, you know, if I can heal myself, I would like to help more people to heal naturally and be free of drugs and medications.
I know, because medications, the side effects, you know, you see the commercial on television and they give all this disclaimer of all these side effects and you're going, oh my God, and you want me to take this because I have cancer? Or, you know, this is going to make me worse. And what happens, I noticed with my mom, is that now that she's getting older, she's losing her appetite. And when she loses her appetite, you cannot run these medications and not have something in your system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you're right. The side effects, and you need another tablet for the side effects of the side effect, and it's like a never ending.
It yes. is. And you know, a lot. I went to China, and it was funny. I was examined by a doctor there, and he checked my liver, my kidney, and my spleen by, you know, the three places on my wrist. In addition to that, looking at my tongue and looking at my eyes. I mean, you know, he didn't need a CT scan or an MRI or, you know, minimally invasive surgery. He could actually look from the outside and see what was going on in the inside. So it's very important that we pay attention to that. So you do something else that's very amazing. You do timeline therapy.
Yes.
Tell my brains about that.
So, you know, first I started with my health coach practice, focusing on the physical, right? In the physical illnesses and the physical. But then I started learning and saying that a lot or most of the disease are linked also with emotions and are linked also with the beliefs. You know, we are under a lot of stress, especially this last year. Well, normally we are under a lot of stress. But this year has been just over, you know, the chart. So there is a lot of emotions. So the emotions will cause change on not only on the energy as we feel the emotion, but also in the chemistry of the body. So timeline therapy is a very effective tool to release emotions quickly. And also is used to put goals in the future, you know, program the mind. Because at the end of the day, we have this program. And this was programmed when we were little, since we were born, or maybe sometimes before we were born, until we are around 7 years old. And we see the world based on that program. Yeah. Right. So timeline therapy helps to release emotions and helps also to eliminate beliefs, negative beliefs, or beliefs that they don't work for us anymore. Help the person to have new beliefs and put goals into the future.
Right. And you also incorporate neuro-linguistic programming. And I have been doing that a lot. You know, I have very strange working hours because I'm dealing with wonderful people with you in the land down under. I'm up at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. So what has happened to me is that number one, my circadian rhythm is off, which is not good. I'm snacking, yes. I'm snacking, which is not good. I'm not giving myself the 12 or 16 hours. And also I am not sleeping properly. You know, I'm taking naps and this, that, and the other. And all of that I'm seeing in my mid area, okay? I done put on some weight and it ain't cute. So now, you know, listening to wonderful experts like you, I'm going to, you know, I've taken my notes. I'm going to incorporate some small changes and I'm going to report back and let you know, because you are an inspiration to me and I thank you for that. I really do. And it doesn't do me any good to talk the talk and not walk the walk. But with talking the talk, I've been talking to myself. You know, I've been doing some neuro-linguistic programming. I work with some of the world's best, hypnotists. So I know what it is, EFT tapping, emotional freedom technique. I do these things, okay? But I really need to just kind of stop and give myself the next 3 months to really incorporate them every day. So I'm going to schedule myself. I'm going to create a schedule of, you know, when I eat, what I eat, try to reduce some of these things that you said, and I'm going to report back to you, okay, Dr. Teresa?
Yes. Cara? That sounds fantastic.
Exactly. So tell my brains definitely a little bit more about any upcoming programs that you have or your offerings.
Yeah, so I run twice a year, a 6-week detox to heal program. So basically that program is designed to help persons to go step by step on the detoxing program or detoxing plan and have the experience of a fast being supported. You know, because a lot of people have all these fears about the fasting, all these questions. So it is important to, for at least the first time that we fast, to have some support, you know, and knowledge and somebody being there. Also to encourage, you know, because we, as you said, we do all these plans to do, but sometimes if we don't have accountability partners or a coach, we just, you know, the things fall apart and we don't follow the things. So, yeah, so I run this program. It starts in the spring and autumn. That's the seasons that I like to fast myself. I'm going to start fasting soon as well. It's coming to autumn here in Australia. Yes. So,
what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, are you going to go all in and do another 30-day? Or, I mean, you know, you're already pretty disciplined. You're going to do a 30-day and still be vegetarian? Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. And maybe last year, my first fast was the 3 days water fast. Last year, I did 10 days water fast. So I think I'm going to do, again, 4 days of colon cleanse and then 10 days water fast and 21 days of juice fast.
Wow. Okay. You know, well, let me ask you this, because you're a woman of the world. That is really not our culture as indigenous tribal people, you know? So originally you are from Mexico and then you moved to London and then you moved to Australia. What has that been like for you?
It has been great. You know, I look back at my life so far and I feel excited. I've always liked adventure. So, you know, you say, oh, there is this new thing happening, I'll jump into it. When I was, since I was little, my parents took us to travel a lot, mainly in Mexico, but we have family in the US, so we'll go and visit the family. So I'm used to the traveling. And when I finished my bachelor degree in Mexico, I was challenged by one of the professors and saying, why you don't go somewhere else to do a master's degree? I said, oh, that's a good idea. So I said, all right, I want to be far away. So I chose England. And it was amazing to be in a different country, different culture, but also multicultural place. Right. You know, so it was my first time experience. Like really, I had the opportunity to meet different from all over the world, people from all over the world. I was living with four girls, four different countries, three different religions. You know, it was just amazing. It was so enriching. It was, yeah, I think it's the best thing that has happened in my life. You know, I think when I leave this world, I cannot take anything that I have. Positions, but all the travel and all the experience don't go with me. Yeah.
Right. And all the great food you've eaten.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, again, I've traveled the world too. And I have, when I travel, that's one thing I don't pack is my American, because I want to be open to the culture, I want to be open to the experience. I want to ask a lot of respectful questions. I don't want to have any judgments. That is what makes us well-rounded, well-balanced people, you know?
Yeah.
You've been very fortunate. So how did you end up in Australia? How did you end up just making that your home?
Well, that was a very interesting question. And I get asked that question many times. When I finished my studies in England, I went back to Mexico, and still I wanted, you know, to do more, to travel more. And I wanted to live outside of Mexico again. So as Mexican, I have two options for migrating, like, easily. So the countries were Canada and Australia. And then I thought, maybe Canada is too cold in the winter. So I just went for Australia. I have never been in Australia before. I knew people in England that love Australia, and I liked it very much, England. So I thought, well, the British like Australia, I like Britain. It should be good, right? I just applied for a visa, got my visa, packed two suitcases, and moved to Australia 9 years ago.
9 years ago. How was it, as a woman, again, in the engineering space, working there? I'm sure that you work with a great group of people where you're smart, you have options, you have choices. But what does that look like? And what would you recommend to women that might want to go into the field of engineering?
Yes. Well, firstly, I'll say it's a beautiful field. You know, I don't regret one single day of being an engineer. It has opened the options. I was able to migrate to Australia because I'm an engineer. You know, it's a degree or knowledge that is used anywhere in the world, and you can migrate without any issues or move for work. It has some challenges, especially at the beginning, you know, because I was not used. I was always in a mixed school in my early years. And then I came to the engineering. It was like a mainly males and just maybe two or three females. But, you know, I didn't have any issues. I have always liked to work with my colleagues. So mainly I have worked with males where I'm working at the moment. All my reports are males. I don't have any reports females. But I'll say to the women, I'll say, be you. You know, don't be afraid of being you, even in the emotional bit. Because that was one of the things that people will say, oh, you know, but women are too emotional. And I'll try sometimes to hold my emotions. But my last general manager, my former general manager, when they said, you know, I really like women in my team because they bring that balance. So try to be you, you know, don't try to be strong or try to be like a little bit more male or less side of the brain.
Right.
As we are, because we bring that balance into the world, and that is also our work.
Exactly. Well, that is great advice, because that's the only way that you can show up. People always use that big $25 word, show up authentically. And showing up authentically is telling the truth.
Yeah.
The truth will set you free. You know, whether you're able to do something and you're not able to do it, to be able to make a decision, to be able to accept responsibility, to be honest and forthright when you talk to people or you deal with people, when you have opportunities for business, that, you know, you weigh that out and really kind of see what is the risk versus the reward, you know, because it's a cost to be a boss. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it is. But it's a fantastic experience. Yeah. You know, I tell my team, my supervisor said, you know, being the manager or being the leader, anybody can be a leader. You don't need to have the job, but being a leader is being of service, you know? So for me, being a boss or being a manager, it's making sure everybody's safe, making sure everybody's supported, they have everything that they need, and, you know, guide them and coach them and make them feel good at work, happy, accepted, and encouraged to do the best.
That's right.
And to show the abilities that they have.
Mm-hmm. And all of that is valuable. You know, there's so many women that are in these spaces now, and entrepreneurs, I'm speaking to you, that do not understand the word value and what that means. It's what you bring to the table.
Yes.
Your skills, your ingenuity, your personality, your charm, your love, your wit, your compassion, your dollars, your philanthropic efforts, all of that makes you who you are. Plus, you know, with me, I bring in an extra 20 pounds. But I'm working on that. But again, I'm accepting responsibility for it and I'm taking action. I'm taking action. And you are one woman that has really encouraged me to do that. I thank you. And I honor you for being here with me and the Brains on the Edge. Okay. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp.
Yes, thank you.
The responses are never dull. You are just awesome sauce. Thank you so much. And next time, I hope to see me breaking a board in half with one hand, with one try.
Yes.
That was cute. I love that. So tell my brains, please, how to get in contact with you so that they can do some deep dive. They can get involved in your next offering, your next session, yes, and follow you.
Yes. Yeah, so my email is Teresa, without H, T-E-R-E-S-A, at healandthrivecoaching.com.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm definitely going to put that, the link at the bottom. Brains, take advantage of it. You know, there's consultations. She had many things that she can do. She's an engineer. She did not have to, really, that's big coin. That's not chump change.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's really kind of dialing back to start again from the ground up to help others elevate themselves and live their best lives and be healthy. She's been there. She's done that. And now look at her. She's reaping the reward. So thank you so much for being here on the Edge. I think that you are an amazing woman and keep doing the work that you're doing, okay?
Thank you, April. Has been my pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for watching.
Bye, Brains.